Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome back to Let's Talk About It. Oh, man. We gotta invite you. This is the 1,050th episode on Purpose Kingdom Network. I'm your girl Adrienne Misunderstandings Allen, and right now I got Chappie with me. I got Pastor Tallene Chappie Toy Tallene Toy Daily Chap.
Oh. Hey everybody!
all of the above, right? We got Mima coming to y'all later at the table. She got some stuff that she got to put at the table for us. So she's grabbing all that information. So right now, what we would like to do is, if you're out there and you're listening and you would care to join us on the air live, you can call in 319-527-6091, or you can call 323-870-4174. And if you're impelled, press 1. It'll cue the board, and then we'll bring you in, and you can join in the conversation. We do have a lot to talk about because we want to go over what we did last week, but we also want to continue, you know, and go into something. Because when we started our last week, we was doing our Take It Back. And when we got into our Take It Back, we was like, oh, well, it's only a little bit of time to take it back. So what we're going to do is we're going to start this Let's Talk About It a little bit backwards today, because we're going to actually go back to our Take It Back, and we're going to take it all the way back. And we're really, really, really going to talk about that. Before we actually get into it, there was a situation on the hand with the NFL. Toy, you remember?
Mm-hmm.
How can we forget, right? Shout out to the NFL. I'm going to give you the shout out. Shout out to the NFL and whoever was on the line last week and was listening and decided that they were actually going to, you know, give Myles Garrett the appeal that he needed. Shout out to you for giving him the appeal. However, it was a coward move in the way that you went about it, because leaving it as a black and white issue doesn't actually handle the situation. And what we were trying to do was get a handle of the situation. So maybe through Let's Talk About It, you'll still be able to maybe call in and press 1 and let us know exactly what it is that you would like to do about it. Because I understand that it might be over right now because of, you know, of how it was explained. But I definitely believe that it needs to get more into depth, because right now that kind of a derogatory statement is wrong, completely out of character, completely out of context. But at the end of the day, it has been around too much. You know what I mean? Am I right by saying that? It's like a little bit too familiar for you to lose your career for it. So it's like if I was to translate it into, like, into 2019 on a schoolyard, it's not worth a fight. You understand?
Right, it's not worth
you getting kicked out of school because somebody called you this name. You understand? Like, I just want to make sure, because you know how they set things in the atmosphere. If we don't watch how we actually handle it in the atmosphere, then it becomes, you know what I mean? It's like a poison. Would you agree?
I agree wholeheartedly with that. It does become poisonous in that situation, yes.
Right, in that situation. Yeah. Now, other situations is a completely different situation. Other situations is a completely different scenario. Like, you have different scenarios of where things are coming on. But in the scheme of things, is not anything to go. It's not anything to go to jail for. It's not anything to lose your life for. It's not anything to lose your, you know, lose your money and your livelihood.
You, and that's where I was getting ready to go. Like, I'm not going to let your ignorance cost me my money.
Right.
So I understand that aspect of it. And I'm in agreement with you with kudos to the NFL for their giving of this their due diligence in giving this appeals hearing. But the thoughts that I'm about to give are the thoughts and opinion of myself only, Tommy Daly. They are not necessarily thoughts and opinions of Let's Talk About It, its co-host, or Purpose Kingdom Network as an entity, a whole, or a ministry. I still got an issue with the NFL. I'm sorry, y'all. Because when we turned it into this thing, the other part of it is, yes, this man is still suspended indefinitely, but then once he said what it was that he said was said, y'all then told the other guy, you know what, you said you didn't say it, so we're going to take a game, we're going to take a day or a game off of your suspension because you said you didn't say that anyway. So, we're going to get you on trying to fight or whatever part you play, but we're going to take that off. Like, at the end of the day, the man did not just get up and say, oh, I'm going to go to my job, and in the last few minutes of this game, I'm going to take this helmet and swing it on this man. And that's the part that I'm having the problem with. I'm sorry. We're not, like she said, we're not really handling the situation. We're not really handling the problem. And we can't say that we're just dealing with it or from the aspect of, you know, the two of them were involved in a physical altercation and this is the discipline that we're handing out to the two of them. Because then I go back to what I said. There's about four other people that if you look at that video, I can name them out clearly. The one that sticks out the most to me is number 55 because he punched that man, kicked that man in like he went in like he was trying to stomp somebody. You see it clearly on the video. But nobody talking about that. So, like, yeah, like she said, kudos for, you know, your due diligence. But in all honesty, we still not handling the problem. We still not teaching our young people that you can't respond to ignorance with hatred and violence. And yes, there are different situations and different scenarios, but you still did not teach them that. You definitely did not teach them that you cannot dish out hatred and violence because, again, something made that man swing that helmet.
And the sad part about it is he said what he said. And once he said what he said, I wish that he was listening because if he was listening, then he would have known better and he would have said something better. But, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand, though, because if you look at the situation and you look at how today's vision of where they would like our youth to go and, you know, what they're showing us, the propaganda that they are allowing into our neighborhoods and, you know, to filter over our televisions, to filter through our airways, all that kind of stuff. When you look at it, it's a certain type of individual that fits into, you know, that fits into a particular type of situation. It's a problem all over the world. However, some people know how to handle situations a little bit differently than others. Some have never some have never even seen what conflict resolution even looks like. Got me? So
right.
It kind of goes back into your development, you know, and what we're learning is, you know, a lot of times we want to fault the parent. But then we realize that we can't fault the parent because the parent is trying to do everything else. So by the parent trying to do everything else, which means pay the bill and everything, and maybe not be there for the discipline, then it falls back on the school. So then when it then falls back on the school, you have some people in the school that are sitting there thinking, I shouldn't be doing it because it should be happening at home. Then you have the people on the street that are watching the kids go to school, and they're just thinking that the whole system is messed up, but nobody wants to help the kid. They're all just upset that the kid's not getting it done. So then now this kid then finds an out, and it might be on the basketball team or it might be on the football field. So now he gets this out. They tell him where to go, how to get there, and if you work really, really hard at it, you can be the top of your game. So then we show them, they show them how they work like mules to get it. You know, we always are calling, especially the NFL, we call it slavery. Like the way that they do it, the way that they, the Columbine and all that is just showing their abilities, you know, which one is faster, which one can jump highest, which one can do this better, you know. So when you come into situations like this, it's almost like, well, did you train your slaves? Almost like customer service, you know, you bring them in. We're gonna show you how to play the game. But in those kind of aspects, they gotta have something set up where they're showing you how to live life. You know what I mean? To handle your business. You can't have a whole lot of money and just be a real young and then say that somebody called you a name and you ready to pop off.
However, you can't.
You understand what I'm saying? Because we teaching our children. Like when I was a kid, we had names. Listen, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's what we used
when's
to.
When's the last time you heard that? When was the last time you heard that? But to be honest, that was something that was said when we were small children.
That's what I'm saying. When
our kids came along, they switched that commercial. They put an addendum on the end. Remember when they started talking about abuse and things like that, and they would say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. And then you would see the parent or the kids at school or the teacher, and they'd be calling the kids all types of names, and the kid would be sitting somewhere in the commercial quiet, and it would go from a colored background to a black and white background, and a tear would be running down the child's face quietly, and then they would put under parentheses, words hurt.
Wow.
So to be real honest, yeah. So that generation is now grown playing football, and we're saying, no, you can't let them take their money, but a word or somebody's ignorance cost you your money. But the truth of the matter is, we taught them that words hurt, and now we want to discipline them because they're reacting off of the impact of words hurt. But when I was a little girl, we was taught that words don't hurt you, honey. Words don't define you.
Well, but that is different because actually this is the world that where they do say something and it matters. Like people think that their opinion counts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when
and
people are upset,
saying,
we say
taught
that they're
them
upset.
That.
Oh yeah. Well, the sad part about it is, it's time to unteach it to them. Same way we can teach something to them, we can teach something. We can unteach it to them because what's going on right now is I called it a time to kill last week, and it was like wow. A time to kill could go a whole lot of different ways. Now, the reason why I said it was because of the actual movie, A Time to Kill, where it was dealing with the black and white scenarios of a town. But as the week has gone on, I have noticed that there's a lot of things that it could be time to kill on. And I mean, like, not so much kill, like the people are shooting each other and everything and kill like that, but it's a lot of things that might need to be dead.
Well, you
know
what? I think that we're going to have to do a part three, because before we start talking about the things we need to kill, can we talk about some of the things we don't need to kill? Because see, in Ecclesiastes, some of the things that we don't need to kill. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about how there's a season for everything on the earth. It says there's a season to everything, there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens. The Message version basically says that there's a proper time to do everything. The Message version says there's an opportune time to do things, a right time for everything on the earth. And then it begins to list all the different times. You know, there's a time for people to be born. There's a time for you to die. There's a time to plant. There's a time to reap. And when you get to the third verse, it says there's a right time to kill and another to heal. And before we get to all the stuff we need to kill, and trust me, there's a lot of stuff we need to kill. Sister Adrian, do you mind if I talk to the church folks for a second?
Yeah.
Are you there? Do you mind if... Can we talk to the church folk for a second? Now, I understand, I'm not talking to the unsaved. I mean, you got the benefit of hearing this, so you're going to catch the overflow. I'm not talking to the unsaved. And I'm not talking to those who have a personal relationship in Christ. This is one of them situations where if it apply, if it don't apply, let it fly type situations. I'm talking to the church folk. I'm talking, you know, you in church every Sunday. You in church every Bible study. You in church every prayer meeting. You in church every time the doors is open, but ain't nothing about you changed yet. I didn't mean to say it that way, but I'm talking to the church folk. The scripture says it's a time to kill and a time to heal. The next verse says it's a time to break down, or a time to destroy, and another to construct. And as church folk, I think we got some of them times confused. When people coming into the church, that is not a time to kill, because they don't look like you think they should look. They don't talk like you think they should talk, or walk like you think they should walk. But we killing their spirits before God can heal their soul. We're committing spiritual abortions. All y'all church folks that are sitting out there talking about, I'm pro-life, I do not believe in abortion, yet you sitting in the sanctuary committing spiritual abortions every chance you get. I'm sorry, because nobody on the table knew I was going to go this way, but I just got one call too many this week. People are not coming into the house of God. Jesus said in his word, there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. How dare us put it in the church? How dare us put it in the house of God? We're not praying about stuff. We're attacking stuff. And some of us doing it in the pastors don't even know, which is a whole nother conversation for another time, because that's something that the pastors need to kill. He need to kill all them Jezebel spirits running around their sanctuaries, he and she, men and women of God. We need to kill all those Jezebel spirits running around the sanctuaries, the houses of God, and somebody saying, oh my God, she's saying it's lustivity. No, a Jezebel spirit is not lust. The Jezebel spirit is the spirit that makes you believe that you are something that you are not. And if you are sitting in the house of God, chasing babies out, chasing new converts out, chasing away people God is sending in to have a seed planted with your ignorance and your arrogance, and you're then sitting and saying that you are doing it in the name of God, that is a Jezebel spirit, and we rebuke it right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, Sister Adrian, come on, let's talk about the stuff that we can kill, but it looks like we have a caller on the line. So I'm going to let you decide if we're going to bring on that caller first or if you want to start with stuff we need to kill. What you want to do?
I would say let's bring on the caller, but if you're out there and you're listening and you just joined us, you are listening to the 1,050th episode of Purpose Kingdom Network. This is Let's Talk About It. Caller, are you there?
And we're going to talk about it.
Hello?
Hey, praise the Lord. Thank you for calling in and let's talk about it.
Amen. I tell you, Pastor Toy and Adrian, how are you first? This is Antonia Betts, but I just wanted to say, boy, you all said nothing but a mouthful. And I tell you, it's a coincidence. I went to a church because they asked me, amongst other people who were around, to break bread with them for the Thanksgiving, the holiday. And it's a coincidence. One of the cooks, he came over and he had dinner, you know, alongside with me, and he was talking about Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. And you expounded on it, and I really enjoyed hearing your version as well, because it was all saying the same thing just about. But I wanted to also say, speaking of, it's just deja vu and everything else to go along with it. But it's a coincidence also what you were talking about regarding the NFL and the football thing. I just wanted to ask you you both about your take on the Colin Kaepernick thing. Do you feel as though he deserves a second chance? Because I think God gives us a second chance. He has sense enough to tone down his concerned opinion because he already gave it about why he did what he did. And as a result, since you two seem like the experts, I would love to hear it from you, too, if you don't mind. And you all have a blessed Thanksgiving, everybody out there, too.
You, too. Thank you so much. For me, I believe Colin deserves a second chance. I think that they're still playing with Colin's head, though, because Colin deserved, number one, Colin should have never had to have been given a second chance. Like, if he was really being banned because of the stand he took, he should have never had to receive the second chance, because he should have never been banned for that. However, the fact is that that is what they did. They should have put him back in back then. How long has it been, Adrian? Like 5 years? Three or five years? Something like that?
It's been three years.
So now, you age in 3 years, and that's not to take away from his skill or his ability, but you age in 3 years. Can he hang with these young boys that they got up there now? I really don't know. Does he deserve the chance and the opportunity to? By all means, yes. But are they really giving him a chance? I don't know how much of a second chance they're really giving him when the owners are coming out talking about this was a farce and this was that and this was just a show. And so were y'all really giving him a second chance? Were y'all really trying to try him out? Or were y'all just playing with his intelligence or trying to smooth over the ruffled feathers of your fans? Because after all, y'all clear well over $9 billion a season. So what was it that they were really trying to do? and for everyone to come at him about his stance and stand and what was it that he did? He kneeled during the national anthem, correct? If I remember,
yes.
Didn't somebody else kneel, Adrian?
They used Kaepernick because he was the first person that said something. But there was a lot of people that knelt in solidarity with him until the NFL started to change the whole thing up. Then when the NFL it was no longer his thing. But to answer the question of Antonio.
The reason I'm asking that is because there was a guy, I can't think of his last name, but I believe his first name was Tim, and he was kneeling during the national anthem, and his words was, "I cannot stand for a flag that allows abortions and something, something, something." And everybody was like, "Oh, that's such a great thing. He's standing up for life and this, that, and the other." But they wanted to punish him for saying that he was standing up for the life of folk that was already here. But go ahead, Adrian. I'm sorry for cutting you off. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, the Colin Kaepernick thing is funny only because, one, everybody deserves a second shot. Anybody that's coming back is going to come back. What Colin Kaepernick was doing, it seemed like he was doing more of the playing with the world because he actually went to their workout, but then he switched his workout and he didn't go to their workout. He went to another workout and wanted them to come to where he was for the workout. So if they weren't playing the game, then they didn't go to him where he's working out. I'm not sure what Colin Kaepernick has in mind. By him being a quarterback, you know, when you look at the quarterbacks of the league, you can look at the old quarterbacks and say, if you can sit in the pocket and you can play and you can actually do what you need to do, you might be able to play for a very long time if you have good line. You know, you got good linemen that keep you off the ground, stuff like that. There's always a way to come back. Colin Kaepernick was never really that great to be like, oh, I'm going to come back and everyone's going to open the gates up for me anyway.
Right.
But right now, people are, you know, teams are in their third and fourth string quarterbacks. Like they have the teams that are graduating, that just graduated out of college, that are actually playing in the NFL right now because there is a shortage of a quarterback. You know, so that I would never count anybody out. And, you know, there's something phenomenal about putting somebody down and putting them away for three or anything, you know.
Right.
Because once they
come
out of the three, you know, they'd be like alive in some type of way. So because of the fact that God is right now, and we got all this
mm-hmm.
other stuff going on in the world, and everywhere you turn around, you got people in the White House trying to make you think that they're still trying to make up why they messed up in 2016 and is now 2019. Like, they're still getting rid of a mistake that they made in 16, as opposed to saying, okay, we made the mistake and let's go and pass on it. But now we are so embarrassed that we made the mistake. Now we can't go any further. We got to keep talking about the mistake and try to now get rid of this mistake because now we want to erase the mistake. Yeah, no, Colin Kaepernick might need to come back and play football, you know what I mean, to just change the rhetoric of what's going on because it's just a big thing. Like Colin Kaepernick coming back would be better than because he would have a three year survival thing. You know what I mean? He would have a story of falling down and getting back up. That's what we need to see right now. We need to see the people that are down and then we need to see them when they get back up. Like, you know, mm-hmm. we are in this world where we like to like almost back to a time to kill. It's always easy to put somebody down. You know, it's easy to just assassinate somebody's character. You know, you don't even have to know anything about it. You don't even have to know anything about anything, and you still think that you know something, and you still are quick to just, you know, go into somebody's thing. We can't do it like that all the time, because, like, Colin Kaepernick was just one individual person that took a stand. And because of the fact that he took a stand, see, what happens is when you take a stand, if the people that you are standing up for don't turn around and back you on your stand, your stand is wasted, because it seems as if you stood up for us and, you know, you stood up for people, and then people turned around and watched you stand up, as opposed to standing up with you.
With you.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Right, with you, right, in solidarity with you. Right now, well, that the solidarity with you is the biggest thing that we're dealing with right now, whether it's a black and white issue, whether it's a Christian issue, you know, whether it's family issues. You know, one side of the family versus another side of the family, whatever, you know, the light-skinned side of the family versus the dark-skinned side of the family, you know, like the rich side of the family versus the poor side of the family. Like, you have all of these different, you know, the top side of the neighborhood against the bottom side of the neighborhood. But everybody's in there together. Everybody's still there together. And it's like, As long as we focus on the things that are continuously changing that we cannot affect, we will always be in the same swamp hole that we're in. Because as long as we're talking about the same issues in each aspect of it, it's like a screw bit, and every time it spins, it's really just getting further and further and further and further into the wood. And then eventually the wood's going to splinter. And then it's a wasted piece of wood.
And we have to remember that the scripture, although we started with a time to kill, and we're talking about a time to kill, the second part of that scripture says, and there's a time to heal. And when it comes to Colin Kaepernick, the hatred thing, the division thing, all of it, we are in a place where it is this is now the time to heal that. But guess what, Sister Adrian? We got Sister Janice with us. Sister Janice.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Hey. Mom. It's funny because we're talking about a time to kill. Don't hurt nobody. Don't hurt nobody. That's not what we brought down here for. Don't hurt nobody today now.
Not me. I'm not that one. It's a little
she said, no, no. She said, no, no. But we do welcome you to the table. And if you're out there and you are listening, and you'd like to call in live, the number to call in is 319-527-6091. Or you can dial 323-870-4174. So how are you tonight, Mima?
I'm feeling much better. Not complaining. Just taking it one day at a time.
She says, I'm only
I know that's right.
So of mine. Lord,
we
give me God to do everything that show me the stairway. I'm sorry. Sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking. You know, that's like a Jimmy Swaggart, this is like Jimmy Swaggart. Woo!
Well, y'all, she keep playing with y'all. Lord, give me the strength to do everything that I have to do. Cause yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me do everything one day at a time. She wouldn't just get to that last verse for me, y'all. I'm sorry. She kept playing with it.
Amen.
I needed that last verse. I thought, that's like halfway giving the call of salvation. I needed that last verse. I'm sorry, y'all. Go ahead. I'm sorry. We just bless God for everybody that's joining in with us as we talking about a time to kill and a time to heal. So now, I talked about what we need to kill in the church, that Jezebel spirit. We need to kill it. Mm-hmm. We need to kill it dead. We need to get rid of it. We need to make it go away.
Yes.
It's just that simple. And even with everything that's going on, like Sister Adrian was talking about, things that we can't affect, that's something else we need to kill. That belief, mm-hmm, that as a believer in Christ, that there is anything anywhere going on in this world that you cannot affect. Don't you know who you are in and,
amen,
through Christ Jesus if you are a believer? If you are,
yes,
truly connected to the power? God saw fit when he sent the Holy Spirit, you know, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and him being,
mm-hmm,
last does not mean he's least. It's just that he showed up in us last. His spirit came, was released last. That was the last expression that God gave of himself, was through his spirit. Do you know it,
mm-hmm,
pleased God to put the fullness of who he is in Christ Jesus and then through his spirit deliver it to us? So if we are,
mm-hmm,
in the proper connection with Christ Jesus to God, then we have every power, every gift, every abundance of everything we need that God has, because he put it in us through his Holy,
mm-hmm,
Spirit. So no matter what is going on in this world, we have the power not just to affect it, but to effect it and to make,
mm-hmm,
a change in what's going on. And we can do it through the power of prayer. Remember, Paul and Silas was thrown in jail. They was thrown in the dungeon. We say jail and we think about State Road or wherever your little county prisons are. You might even think about upstate somewhere. No, they were thrown in the depths of a dungeon in the dung. They were shackled and chained to a wall. But what did they do in that situation? They begun to sing the praises unto God. And because in that dung that they were locked to, they sung God's praise at about midnight. They wasn't even asking God to deliver them. They were just praising him. And at about midnight, not only were they set free, but the shackles fell off on everyone in the prison. So, yes, you can affect it and effect it. And because of their praise, the jailers became saved. His household got saved. We got to start remembering who we are. We got to kill that farce that we have no power. We got all power in us through Christ Jesus. We so busy trying to fit in with everybody, we forget that we're not supposed to fit in. We're supposed to look different. We're supposed to stand out.
Yes.
Somebody said to me the other day, you walk around here like you better than everybody. I said, you know what? I'm not better than everybody, but the Christ in me is.
Amen.
So
Amen.
If that's what you take from my walk, I'm sorry. But that ain't me. That's the Christ in me.
You know, it's funny because a lot of people can, what it is they misconstrue it, because a lot of people say it to me, like, you're real cocky. Like, you're real, like, when you say stuff, you say it, like, I be thinking, well, the word that you're looking for is a star, because it says we have the kingdom authority, those that believe. Like, wait a minute, if I can tell a mountain to move,
amen, move.
What make you think, you know, like,
and you ain't even the mountain, you just a little stumbling block, and you think I'm gonna sit here and wrestle with you, and I got the power to tell a mountain to move, and I'm gonna sit here and wrestle with a stumbling block. In the name of Jesus, if you don't get out my way.
Right, like, and then, you know, it's funny because you go back to that time to kill thing, right? And then something that we don't need to kill, and I guess it would be back to those church folk, because that's how we was talking to y'all about not killing stuff.
Amen.
You know, because God is not violent. You know, he's so kind and so special and sweet and gentle and caring. But, we just can't kill somebody's praise. Like, you don't know what people have been through. You know, so a person's praise and a person's worship is determined by actually what they've actually endured. You know what I mean? The same, like, the person that went through the 20 years of wilderness out in the real wilderness, you know, where it was cold, where they didn't have heat, you know, like when they are sitting on a heated seat, it's like heaven. Somebody else might say, oh, just a heated seat. You know what I mean? Oh my
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
You know, this goes all the way to the middle of my bone, like to the inside of my core. But somebody that's always been, you know, warm, doesn't really appreciate it in that aspect, you know, and I try to put it from a different aspect than just, you know, putting your hands up or saying amen, or, you know, some people like to wave their hands. Other people like to stand up. Other people, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm a waver.
Like,
yeah, I'm a waver. I'm a
y'all
clapper.
Folks that don't like praises, I'm going to tell y'all now, y'all don't want to be around us. Because we praise. We praise.
Yes.
The three of us, we praise. And you know who's praise to snatch you to a whole nother realm of existence? Sister Janice over there. She got caught up in the praise one time. Y'all disconnected the phone line on all of it. Like, it went staticky for about 5 minutes till she came back down.
Jesus.
While we was just praising.
Yes.
But, and you definitely don't want to be around me because I'm loud. I feel like this. When I was in the world partying, I ain't go to no club that I was dancing at and get all quiet and stand up against the wall.
Mm-hmm.
When I was out in the world doing worldly things, I gave Satan my all. Come on, I'm going to do everything I'm big and bad enough to do. And in the midst of me doing it, God delivered me from all of that. Some of that he's still delivering me from, but he saved me in all of that. Times when the bullets was wheezing over my head and one of them should have or could have caught me, but God kept me. So, yeah, you can sit there on your praise if you want to. That's your business. I'm going to get my praise on. And if I come visit your sanctuary, I'm coming loud. So if y'all don't want me there, y'all better tell me now. You know, we do quiet praise here. Don't come in here. No, I'm coming loud. I don't know. Maybe he ain't delivered you from what he delivered me from. Maybe you don't have a reason to praise him. I don't know. What I do know is the scripture says that if we don't praise him for what he's done for us, he will make the very rocks cry out. And can't no rock tell it like I can tell it what God has done for me. So all y'all folk trying to kill the praise of God, go ahead with yourselves before God come and see you about trying to stifle somebody's praise.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, and a lot of people does that, you know, Satan is so swift and sniff, you know, that you take a new person in Christ, you know, and just juggle their minds and juggle their feelings and their spirit, you know. So you have to be a strong person in Christ. You have to make sure that there's somebody strong around our new babies in Christ, you know, because I know somebody that's going through it right now, you know, not knowing really what they should do or how they should do it. But I can tell you they do talk about praying about anything that they, any decision before they make it, you know. So we got to keep the new babes in Christ. We got to keep them strong. So all our warriors, you know, just get together and stick by them and make sure that they stay strong in Christ so that Satan won't manipulate and maneuver his way in to kill that spirit, you know. So we just have to keep on keeping on and keep pressing, you know, and doing what we have to do to keep our babes where they need to be.
And understand everybody that's caught up in the praise is not just because they a new babe in Christ and they – no, some people just bless God.
Amen.
You know, they take waking up as a blessing.
Amen.
Because they know somebody didn't wake up. They take making it home safely at the end of the night a blessing. Being able to lay their head down on a bed a blessing. But that's a blessing. But we done got to a place now where we just so holy and sanctified, we don't want to recognize God in nothing that we do. We want to act like God is just, you know, he like an umbrella. We'll snatch him out the corner when we see that it's raining. But when it's not raining, we put it up in the corner until we need it again. That's how we do God. You know,
yeah.
All hell breaking loose in our lives. And now it's like, oh, God, God, help me. God, where are you? God, you said you'd never leave me. And then when the hell stopped, be like, okay, God, thank you so much. Let me put you over here in this corner until I need
put
you
back
again.
In the corner so you can dust them off.
Don't you know, God wants to walk with you. He wants a personal relationship with you. He wants to be one and one with you. He wants to be real with you. He wants to be able to keep you. He wants to be able to sustain you. He wants to be able to provide for you. He wants to be able to make a way for you in dry places just so people can look who have counted you out and go, oh, my goodness, there must be a God because there's no reason that person should be where they are. But unfortunately, we sitting in the church trying to kill people's praise so they can't even get their praise on. You know what? That's why we got to learn to praise God at home.
Amen.
I'm not saying don't praise him in the sanctuary, but that's why we got to learn to praise him at home by ourselves sometimes. Yes, corporate is good, but sometimes we got to learn how to praise him when it's just us and him. Because saints of God, I'm not even going to say, because y'all not even saints of God. Church folk are hurt you.
Yes.
And that
church
is why
you
are out there and you are listening tonight and you are out of the ark of safety to the point where you do not have your own personal relationship with God and you are riding off of somebody else's. Tonight, we offer you the opportunity to ask God into your life and ask him to become the guide for you. Allow him to order your steps and to want to study more, to earnestly try to do more. It's important that whatever you do, however you do it, when we're on and we're talking, it's all based out of the fact that there is a relationship already had with God. So if you are one that does not have that relationship, that is why we offer what is called the call to salvation. Now, Chappie will come on and she will do it with you, and you'll repeat after her. But the important part of it is that you just don't stop right there. You got to get more and you got to know more. The people are going to be very, 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 very wrong. The people around you are going to be very, 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 very nasty. The people around you might be very, 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 very rude. Whatever the case may be, don't allow the people to get in your way of your relationship with God.
Mm-hmm.
Chad?
I'm going to go one further with that, where she left off at, and she said, don't allow people to get in the way of your relationship with God. How many of you, if you get real sick or you get injured and you go to the hospital, it's other sick people in that hospital. Some of them might be sitting there. Some of them might be puking. Some of them might be going to the bathroom on themselves. Some of them might have blood dripping out of them. Some of them might have body parts hanging out of them. But do you let whatever other sickness has that somebody else in the hospital, whatever other disease or situation they have somebody else in the hospital, stop you from getting the healing that you need in that hospital?
Mm-hmm.
No, we sit right there in that emergency room until one of them doctors can see us. We lay right there in those pre-op rooms until it's our turn in the surgical ward. We lay right there in those hospital rooms until they release us from the hospital. We don't worry about what the other patient is dealing with. We came seeking our healing. That's how it is when you come into the church, the building, the body of Christ as a whole, but the different sanctuaries, the buildings. You are going in there seeking your healing, seeking your growth, seeking your deliverance. Don't let the other sick people keep you from seeing the doctor. And the doctor is Jesus. And here's the blessing about it. He makes house calls. Right this second, he is able to come into somebody's life and begin to do the healing process in you wherever you may be. But he's not going to come in like a thief in the night. He's not going to break in. He's not going to force you. He's not going to overpower you and snatch it from you. You have to be willing to give it to him. You have to be willing to come to him and say, God, I agree with you. I agree on your word. I'm a mess. And now that I know that I'm a mess, I have come to receive your message so that the trials and tribulations of my life can begin to turn and work together for my good, because I am now coming into the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But you have to first decide that I need Christ in my life. I need Jesus in my life. I need a personal relationship with God. You have to decide that after you say this prayer with me this evening, it doesn't just stop there. You're going to read the Bible for yourself. If you do not have a Bible, we're going to give you our email address at the end. Contact us. We will get a Bible to you wherever you may be. But it starts with first accepting Christ as your personal Savior. And that's the key word, your personal Savior. And it's simple to do. You just repeat this prayer after me. If you believe it in your heart, here's our chance to confess it out of your mouth. You just say, Father God, I come to you this evening just as I am. I come in agreement with your word that I am a sinner in need of salvation, and that your son Jesus is the way that you offer us that salvation. So I ask him to come into my life. I ask him to forgive me of my sins. I ask him to begin to make me new right now. In Jesus' name I pray. amen. And if you said that prayer, you just tell somebody. Just let somebody know, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior this evening. And according to God's word, once you say that, you are saved. Now, of course, with everything that we said, we still encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if you can't, Brother Robert, Pop Hudson is about to come on, and he is going to give you some information on how you can follow us and how you can join us. Brother Rob?
Yes, yes. Great word of inspiration tonight. This is a product of Purpose Kingdom Network, and we thank each and every one of you joining us tonight. We thank you, whether you join us online or via phone. We thank you so much for your support with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. If you were to correspond with us here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us here at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can send us a praise report, or you can just simply say hello. We gladly appreciate that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We're also on Facebook, where we invite you to like us, where you can see our upcoming advertisements and our upcoming shows on our upcoming schedules. Please feel free to stay tuned and like us on Facebook also, where we have our yearly revivals. You can see our upcoming lineup there coming soon. We thank you so much for doing that. And also, if you don't mind when God's doing God's blessing, we'll be joining us tomorrow evening for DTW Ministries with Reverend Aaron Williams. And that's going to be at the 9 p.m. hour. Once again, God's will, God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening for DTW Ministries. And that's going to be at 9 p.m. So just don't forget to put in your schedule or your calendar or whatever you have there to set yourself a reminder that DTW Ministries is going to be on at 9 p.m. tomorrow evening, hosted by Reverend Aaron Williams. And as always, we appreciate any form of your listenership. We are broadcasting on www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And anytime you want to hear any of our past or previous shows, you can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. We're also on anywhere where they promote podcasts, and you can just simply type in Purpose Kingdom and like us and hit the follow button, and that way you won't miss any of our episodes. We thank you so much, and with that being said, we're going to return the show over back to the ladies of Let's Talk About It. And here we go, back in your hands.
Well, thank you so much.
Yes, yes.
All right.
So, ladies, we have talked about A Time to Kill. I would like to put a challenge out there, a challenge that I believe would start to bring about some healing. You know, we always say that we encourage you to find a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching church. I think we should start going out and visiting some of the churches so we can have a lineup of churches that we can, you know, suggest to people.
Mm-hmm.
If they're having a hard time finding a church home or a sanctuary home, that we might be able to help them in that manner. But I'm going to tell y'all, when I start coming out to the churches, sometimes I'm going to come and I'm going to look very, very nice and very, very presentable and very, very lovely. And y'all going to look and y'all going, oh, Pastor Toy is here. Pastor Talene is here. Oh, bless God. Da, 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 and all that old good stuff. Another time, I'm going to come and I'm going to make sure I have on smelly clothes, I'm going to look homeless. I'm going to let y'all know what I plan on doing. Look homeless. You'll never know which way I'm coming or which one I'm coming to. But why am I coming that way? Because I don't want to send nobody to a place where they're going to be killed before God has a chance to give them birth.
Amen. Amen.
So what y'all think about that, lady?
Great idea. Great idea.
I said let's do it.
I'm with it. And see, Sister Agent, you got all that theatrical background. You can help us get right ready for the part.
Amen.
She gonna be our makeup artist, get us dressed, tell us how to get the stuff together to look right.
It's funny because you'd be so surprised when it comes down to it at the end of the day, if God is in it. It ain't a plaything in it.
You ain't never lied.
Yeah. We'll see y'all in 2 weeks. We'll see y'all next week. Look at me. 2 weeks.
Next week. God bless y'all.
Amen.
Thank y'all for joining in with us this evening. Good night.
Good night.
Jesus bless. He raised me. I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Step one to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.